have invitations number 584. Please mark your books. 584. Because he lives.
Let everybody say amen. Once again, God has been good to us. He has blessed us all this past week and brought us to the beginning of a new week, the first day of the new week. So God has been good. That means we are a week older, we should be a week wiser, and we ought to be a week fuller from God's Word. So with that, let us continue to praise and thank God for His blessings that He give us. Before we go very much farther, let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for all the blessings that You have bestowed upon us. Thank You that You brought us from our earliest existence down to this present moment. Thank You for the in-between of it being born and the point that we're at in our lives now. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for food, shelter, and clothing. Thank You for the Church of Christ that was bought and paid for by Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You this morning, Father, for this local congregation. We're praying for this congregation, O Heavenly Father, that the things that we do would be found decent and in order. We pray and thank You for leadership, the leadership here, and pray for them and their families, that they may continue to be strong and that their families may be there to give them the support that they need. We pray for the church and all of those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. We pray for them and their families also. We pray for strength for them, and we pray for those who shall come from this point on, that they be strengthened as well as their families. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You got us up this morning. Father, You didn't have to raise us up, but You not only raised us up, but You got us up and out of the house and brought us to Your house. Thank You, O Heavenly Father. Thank You for the food that we put in our bodies, the clothes that we put on our bodies, and the wisdom that we have for our minds. And Father, we just pray that if anyone lacks wisdom, that they know how to ask You for it, because You give it. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all of those that are sick and shut in. We pray for those who are somewhat sick today but are still here. But we also pray for those who are not here because of their sickness. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those who are without this morning. And we pray and ask You, O Heavenly Father, that if it be Your will, You would gather unto them or give unto them those things which are necessary that they may be able to support themselves. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for those members of those families who have lost loved ones. We just pray for their well-being and their strength to continue on, O Lord. And we most of all, Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who because He went to the cross, we can have an opportunity at the tree of life. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all of these and many more blessings as we continue on in our services now, Father. Please be with us. Watch over and keep us right now, O Heavenly Father. In His name, the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Let us all say amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter speaks of faith. So we want to talk simply about faith this morning. Our lives are filled with many difficulties. We experience many kinds of situations during our lifetime. One thing I've heard people say, no matter how difficult things get in life, life must go on. No matter how difficult things get in this life, life must go on. One thing I've come to know, one thing that I've found that holds true is to Christians everywhere, their one thing that they rely on is faith. No matter whether it be disappointments, health-related issues, death, or even financial matters. Faith can get us through all of these and many other things. The best answers to difficulties is to have faith in God. Many people give up much too soon when troubles come their way. Many claim to know God, but they won't allow God to fix whatever may be ailing them, the things that they can't fix. They may know God, but apparently they sometimes have trust issues because they can't seem to get God involved, so that means that I don't trust God, even though you say you trust God. If we cannot put our faith and trust in God, I ask the question this morning, who then can we trust? Who can we trust when we can't fix our own things that are in need of fixing? Today's message speaks to our faith, where we need it, faith, and we all need faith if we are to be true Christians. And I find it very difficult sometimes for some people to tell me they are Christians by their actions and by their faith. I'm a Christian, but I just don't trust God to do everything for me. I'm a Christian, but I don't see how God can do that. I'm a Christian, but I don't see where God is able to fix it because I couldn't fix it. Well, you're not God. So we need to allow God to fix whatever may be wrong in your life. In the text of Hebrews chapter 11, in the verses number 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by its elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." The first item we want to deal with is we need worshiping faith. We need worshiping faith. Worship is where Christians come together to give God his due honor and his praises. It tells us in Psalms number 148, verses number 12 and 13, "All people are to praise God, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven." Coming to church should never be a place that we come together to socialize. I know many folk like to come together because I have fun when I go to church, some say. Church is not meant to be a social club. And I told you this before, and I'm going to tell you again, don't expect the preacher to hook you up with nobody, because I'm not in the hooking up business. If anything goes wrong, the first thing you want to do, the preacher introduced me, but the preacher didn't make the situation. So don't ask me to hook you up with anybody. You need to hook yourself up, and then you'll be hooked. Faith is reaching up to God so that he may reach down to us. What a great example in that text there of Hebrews 11 in verse number 4. Once again, it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it being dead yet speaketh." The sacrifice that Abel made was a more excellent offering than that one that Cain made. I believe that Abel's position toward God ran deeper than that of his brother. Both brothers made an offering to God, but Abel brought a little bit better offering because of his faith. Watch the text as it reads and tells us. The first thing it says there, by faith. You've got to have faith when you approach God. You can't say, "I'm going to ask God for this," or "I'm going to ask God for that," but have no faith. You've got to have faith when you approach God, because with faith, all things are possible. But you must have this faith. In Hebrews 11 and 4 there, look at the verse again. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." His sacrifice was better than that of Cain. Coming to church, we've got to have faith in our worshiping as well. Coming to church other than to worship God is all for the wrong reason. That means we don't have faith in the worship if we are not worshiping Him in truth. And have we forgotten what John 4 and verse number 24 teaches us? God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't come to church without having faith and expect that your worshiping is in faith. Faith is more than just saying we have it. It must be demonstrated as well. Do you remember in Acts chapter 16, around verse number 25, where Paul and Silas, though they were in prison, they had the faith around midnight to sing praises and pray unto God? It was a miserable situation. Now, no doubt anybody being in jail or being in prison finds themselves in a miserable situation. But in that miserable situation, they had faith enough to praise God and sing praises to God. They knew the way out of prison could be found through God. So when you think about it, church, when you're at the bottom of the rung of your ladder, but you can't seem to step off, you need to have faith in God to get you off that ladder. Now, when you talk sometimes, and some of us do this, I don't know if you're one of those people, but some of us talk to ourselves. And some of us talk to ourselves out loud. But some of us talk in silence to ourselves. So you're saying to yourself that, Lord, give me what I need, or Lord, give me this, or Lord, give me that. But first of all, you must have faith that God can do what you ask Him to do. Look at verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. You don't have to see. I told you this before. You don't have to see faith, but trust in faith. You have faith to use your faith. You just must understand that faith is not something that we can see. I've explained it to you before. I told you we can't buy faith. We can't smell faith. We can't hear faith. We can't look at faith. We can't do nothing except just hope for faith. That's what faith is, the substance of things hoped for. Do you remember that a minute ago when I asked you about Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas was in jail at midnight, at the very hour when you would think that everybody is asleep? Paul and Silas began to sing songs and praises unto God. And I'm sure that some of the other prisoners wondered what's wrong with these two. But they had faith in God. Not only do we need a worshiping faith, we need a working faith. There's little that one cannot achieve if he but tries. When one puts his faith in God, the results can be overwhelming. The great faith of just one can bring about great workings. Look at verse number 7 of the text. Verse number 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, Noah had faith. Noah had great faith, as a matter of fact, when you think about it, because Noah had never seen some of the stuff that God had warned him or God had said. It repented God, as a matter of fact, that God even created man. You know, that's an awful thought when you say to yourself, God made us, but then we turn him against us because it repented him. And when the man was so wicked, well, how do you know that man was so wicked? Well, in chapter number 6 of Genesis, the Bible tells us that man was so wicked on earth, his thought of his heart was evil all the time. That's in verse number 5 of Genesis chapter 6. And then in verse number 6, where I just told you, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him to his heart. Now, let's put that in perspective for a moment here. You know, if you got children, and children can sometimes do things that hurt our hearts. I wouldn't use the spouses because that's another story. But sometimes children can hurt our hearts. They can hurt the very core of our hearts by some of the things that they do. And children today, let's face it, children today are not like children of old. Children today are nothing like the children of old. If children of old were acting up, somebody down the street could tell them to act right. But if you tell somebody's child to act right today, you may find yourself shot. So children are not the same as they once were, but yet it grieves us in our hearts sometimes the things that our children do. Sometimes the things that our children do can cause us great heartaches and pain. And I may as well throw this out there while I'm here. Our children will always be our children. Our children can sometimes be 50 years old, but they're still our children. So sometimes as they get older, especially, the young ones do stupid things. The old ones do things that they should know better, but they still do it, and it grieves us at our heart. Well, this is what happened. Man had grieved God at his heart, and he repented that he had even made man. Yet he found one man who had faith, and his faith was a working faith. How do we know that his faith was a working faith? Well, look at verse number 8 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should, after receiving inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. Now, I know I moved from Noah to Abraham. I understand that. But I wanted to show you a working faith in action. But also, Noah had faith. And his faith was also that of a working faith. And look at in Genesis chapter 6, chapter 8. In chapter 6 and verse number 8 of Genesis, the Bible tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the text of Hebrews 11 and 7, we find that word faith. Noah was warned by faith of things not yet seen. He was moved with fear, and guess what he did? He got to building a boat. He went to build a boat. Now, God, I like the way God set this situation up. Because he warned Noah what was going to happen first. And then he told Noah what to do, and he gave Noah some specific instructions on how to do what he was told to do. He told him, I want you to get a certain kind of wood. So I guess Noah went down to the local Home Depot and bought that certain kind of wood. But he got a certain kind of wood. And he built that boat to the specification that God had instructed him to build the boat on. He was warned of things not yet seen. He was moved with fear, and he went to work on building that ark. He had a working faith. His faith caused him to understand, even though these things that had not been seen before, if God said it, it most certainly should believe it, and that should be a lesson to us today. If God says it in his word, if God tells us to do this or do that, we ought to understand when we need to do this or do that. Whether we believe it or not, you can rest assured that if God said it, then we must understand that God means what he says. His holy word, if it's in there, it shall certainly come to pass. The results of Noah's reward, or his reward of his faith, was that he and his house were saved from a world of sinners who were destroyed. I tell you something, church. There's something wonderful about having a working faith. It can save our souls through our faith. We can stand out as an example to those who may not know God. You know, when you say that you have faith, but you don't demonstrate it, look at the message that you're sending to others. You say, I got faith, but you act like I don't have faith. You say you have faith, but you don't act the part of a faithful Christian or a faithful person. Look at the text again in 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, church, for by faith, through faith, we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You've got to have faith, and you've got to trust your faith. We need faith, church. We need to understand that this faith that we say that we have, we need to know that God needs to see our examples put into action. Faith. When I come to church on Sunday morning, I don't come to church because I missed you also. I come to church to serve God. Now, of course, I did miss you. I haven't seen you all week. Some of you I haven't even talked to all week. Some of you I have. But I don't come to church just to have a good time with you. I come to church because I want to serve God in spirit and in truth. I've been here just slightly long enough to know one thing about it, church. And that's without my faith, I'm not getting any place that I want to get when I leave this earth. And when I leave this earth, my thought is that of going to heaven. And when I think about going to heaven, I think about some of the things that I must do. And one of them is to put my faith in action. Well, how do you know? Well, I've read over in James around chapter 2 and verse number 17. Faith, if it has not works, is dead. Oh, you got to have faith in your, you got to have works along with that faith that I spoke to you about. You've got to have faith in God. You've got to trust in God. You can't get by on faith without works, and you can't get by on works without faith. They go together. Faith, if it not does not have works, it is dead. Faith by itself and no works won't get you anywhere. Dead faith is the same as no faith. Because if you're not using your faith, you're not trusting enough in God to put your faith into action. We need faith to wait. When we look at Abraham, as I mentioned Abraham a moment ago, but when we look at Abraham, we see a man who had to wait upon the Lord. What did he wait for, preacher? Well, he waited to have a child with his wife Sarah. The Bible says that Abraham laughed when God promised he and his wife a child. When he was almost 100 years old, the Bible said. He was 100 years old, and his wife was 90. But God was not laughing. So in other words, I like what the Bible says. As I like to say, with God, nothing is impossible. When you read Genesis chapter 17 and 18, you'll find the story. God, while both Sarah and both Abraham laughed, God posed the question to them in Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 14. Is anything, let me repeat that, is anything too hard for the Lord? He then assured them that Sarah was going to have a son. And all you have to do is have a waiting faith and you can do the impossible. Isn't that right, church? A waiting faith for the Lord who can do the impossible and present it to you when you think it's impossible. God says there's nothing, I can do this. He waited to find out where God was sending him. Look at verse number 8 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went. This is the part I want you to see. He went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't even know where he was going, but the Lord told him to go. So guess what? His faith sent him out there. So when God tells us to do something in his word, who are we to question his word? All we need to do is just do it. Today we must learn to have a waiting faith. We must have a faith that allows us to wait. We must learn to wait that our prayers might be answered. In the seventh chapter of Matthew, the seventh and eighth verse, the words of Jesus said, ask, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. But then verse number 8, listen to this part. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. We must be patient. And because these things we ask of God may not happen when we want them to happen, some of us get dejected. Some of us get to saying, well, I should have not even asked God because nothing has happened. So we must wait with patience. It means we must pray, and then when you get finished praying, you pray often. And then when you have prayed often, then you go back and you pray again. And when you have prayed that time, go back and pray again. Just keep on praying. You never stop praying. Some folks like to ask for one thing at a time. And they say, when I get that, I'll be through asking God in prayer. But you missed out on something. You missed out on thanking God for what He has given you already. And you missed out on thanking God so that you'll be prepared to ask Him the next time. So you just keep on praying. We must wait for God to answer our prayers. And I know some of us, we have many disappointments. When these disappointments come into our lives, when these disappointments step into our lives, and sometimes these disappointments come at inopportune times. Just when you're thinking about, I'm going on this really nice vacation, and something happens, and you become so disappointed, you start saying things to yourself like, I'm going to lose my money. I'm going to lose everything I put up. But God has a way of working things out. And when you get sick sometimes, and you go to God in prayer, if He doesn't take that sickness from you right away, some say God doesn't hear prayer. But that doesn't mean that God didn't hear your prayer. Maybe you just didn't have the faith when you asked Him in prayer. Maybe you didn't have enough belief in Him or enough faith to say in Him, Lord, I know You can answer these prayers, but will You answer this prayer? So you pray again. God is well able to answer. And I know I'm not going to say that God will answer when we want Him to answer. I got enough sense to know that God answers on His own time. But He will answer your prayer, just maybe not when you want it or how you want it. We must ask Him sometime, over and over again. Praying means that not only must we be prayerful, but we must stay prayerful. It means that we must have faith. In Psalms 27, around verse number 14, the Bible says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. And then the Bible says again, it says in these words, wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Christians should know through their religious experience that we must keep our faith and wait upon the Lord. We must keep our hearts upon the Lord, trusting Him and have our minds stayed on Him while we wait upon Him. We have all the reasons in the world to be of good courage. Don't you know, church, one thing I found out is that you can't rush God. You cannot rush God. Matter of fact, I'm going to go even a step further and say this to you. You can't dictate to God how to do His business. You can ask Him for whatever it is that you want, but that doesn't mean that you're going to get. Because you know what? Some of us, if we got everything we want, we start asking for crazy kind of stuff. We would. Lord, give me a whole lot of money. And then, if you got a whole lot of money, some of you wouldn't even bring some of it to the collection. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Some of you would ask God to let me, when I go over to the boat, let me win tonight. When I go over to the casino, let me win big tonight, Lord. When I go to Las Vegas, put it in my heart, Lord, so that I will know that I'm going to win when I go to Vegas. Otherwise, Lord, I might not even go to Vegas. Well, stay away from Vegas if that's the way you feel about it. It's only going to take your money anyway. And I know there are folk who say, well, I know how to beat the system. And I've never seen anyone who beat the system that them people have had in place for years and years. And you're not going to beat the system. You just can't. But when you ask God for something reasonable, when you ask God for something that's not unreasonable, I should say, then you ask God in faith, and God is well to answer you. When life brings us heartaches and troubles, and then when the disappointment comes in like droves, and even though we don't have the powers nor the ability to solve these things, all we can do is go to the Lord and ask in prayer and then wait upon His timing. So do you remember in Mark chapter 4 where Jesus said to His disciples, when He said to them, He said, let us pass over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. even though the master was with them, guess what happened? In the middle of the waters that they were trying to get to the other side, in the middle of the waters, a storm arose. As a matter of fact, the Bible says a great storm arose, and the disciples began to fear while Jesus was sleeping. Somebody said, "Wake up, Jesus." And they got Jesus up, and some of them asked Jesus, saying, "Don't you care if we perish, Jesus?" Jesus got up, and then he rebuked the wind, spoke to the sea, saying, "Peace, be still." And calm came over the sea, and the winds quit blowing. Now tell me that's not power. And the winds quit blowing. Jesus, then he addressed those with him, saying, "How is it that you have no faith?" When great storms come upon us, when we must come to an end of our trying to do it ourselves, we must ask for a waiting, we must have a waiting faith to wait upon the Lord. Faith to know He cares. Faith to trust in Him. This world never has, never will see the likes of any man like Jesus. Jesus is the only one of His kind. Jesus is the only one who saved us, prepared, bought, and paid for His church with blood and water. Oh, you got to have some faith this morning, church. And look what the text says as we look at it again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders attain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You can't make the world all over again. Only God can do that. And by faith we must ask God to give us our strength, our wisdom, and our knowledge to accept what He has in store for us. Now I tell you something, church, as I bring this to a close right now. I tell you something about faith. Since I know we already can't, when we know that we can't see faith, we can't smell faith, we can't taste faith, we can't purchase faith, we can only get faith through the Lord. And the one thing I like to say to us this morning is that through faith, we can all have a better experience in this life. We can all have a better experience with God in this life. My faith in you won't go very far. And your faith in me won't go very far. You know what I always tell you? You pray for me and I'm going to pray for you. But even if you don't pray for me, guess what? I'm going to still pray for you. But you can't put your faith in me. You can ask me to pray for you, but don't ask me to do miracles for you. Don't ask me to perform the impossible. That's what God does. He performs the impossible. And He does it every day of every week of every month of every year. Just ask somebody who He did a miracle for, or somebody who's had faith and needed God into their lives, and just ask them. And I know many people can testify of God and His greatness and His goodness. But one thing I like to tell church folk, you've got to have faith above all things, even when you come to church, because somebody in the church might make you mad. Church folks will make you mad sometime now. Don't think we don't. Church folk can hurt our feelings sometime. Church folk can make us cry sometimes. But you know what? You got to keep your faith. You got to have faith. Faith will get us through. And if faith can't get us through, then I ask the question, what do you think can get us through? Money won't do it. Oh, money will do a lot of things. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not advocating that you shouldn't have money. If you got money, good for you. If you don't want it, bring it to me. But money won't buy us what we think we need. We need faith. I know money will buy a lot of things. And I'm not going to go down a whole list of things that they'll buy. But money will buy us a lot of things. Because you can't. Now, I'll tell you, you can't go to Jewel on your faith. They don't accept faith at the cash registers in Jewel. But when you get ready to go to Jewel, if you have faith in the Lord, He will provide for you. Fake when you're driving these old high-priced gas stations won't buy you any gas. But have faith in God before you go to the gas station. Ask Him to provide for you. And He won't magically put money in your pocket, but He may show you a way that you can get money to buy this high gas. So faith, my time is up. I know my time is up. But faith, being the substance of things hoped for, the thing of things not seen, then you need to understand that because you can't see it, doesn't mean it won't happen. Because you can't smell it, doesn't mean it won't happen. Because you can't buy it, doesn't mean you can't have it. You get faith, ask God, and He'll give you faith. Ask Him to strengthen you, and God will put faith in you. The disciples had to go and ask the Lord one time. They said, Lord, increase our faith. But I tell you something. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So just keep the faith and keep the faith strong. How do I get to become a member of the Lord's body that I may get this faith? You come by hearing, repenting, by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. We'll baptize you today. It's nice and warm in the building. Nobody has to fear the water being too cold. Brother Jackson will get over in there with you and baptize you. If you're already a member, but somewhere you went astray, and we do go astray, if you've gone astray, you need to ask the Lord for whatever it is that caused you to go astray. Ask the Lord to strengthen you that you might not do that again. And then come forward, ask the church to pray for you as we together stand and sing the song of invitation. Oh.